5:08 on September 14th, and I'd like to call our meeting of the Tacoma Arts Commission to order. We gratefully acknowledge that we rest on the traditional lands of the Puyallup people, where they make their home and speak the Lushootseat language.
Absences for tonight include Commissioner Woodson, Commissioner Wilmot-Stenjump, and Commissioner Stowe. I would also like to call for a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes our agenda for tonight and our meeting minutes for August 10th.
Do we have a second?
We don't have a quorum. We can't do that. Let's just do check-in, and then we'll circle back when we get the quorum and do that. We got good practice.
Well, welcome to my classroom, because this is where I am all the day. But I don't even have correct grammar anymore, all the day. If you don't know, I teach at Lincoln, so we are now on day 4, which feels like 4 million in teaching this 2020 school year, while my two other kids are, they're sort of getting their 6th and 3rd grade. My husband's helping them, and as days go by, it'll be easier, I keep telling myself. But just to kind of acknowledge the fact that right now is super weird. We're living in a pandemic, and there's like everything is ablaze, and it feels like the dumpster fire came to life. So we're just trudging along in my house, but I wanted to check up on all of you. I'm just going to kind of go around with commissioners, and then I'm going to go to staff. And if you have not noticed, Rebecca's back. So we have a full staff, which is super exciting. So I want to make sure that we honor the fact that Rebecca's here too. So we'll end with her. So Anna, you are first in my screen. So I'm going to call on you first.
Hi, everybody. I'm in a similar place of, you know, working from home and weathering the elements that are out there. It's been hard to stay inside recently, but just feeling super grateful for everything that I have, and thinking a lot about, you know, the people that are affected by the fires on the West Coast, and have some friends and coworkers that, you know, have family members and friends who are affected by this. And so I'm just feeling really grateful and checking in on people, and, you know, not going outside is something I can do. But it's tough. That's been my like saving grace during this time. It's getting outdoors every day. And so not getting to do that as often is harder. So I'm just spending time closer to my house plants for now.
Awesome. Thank you, Anna. Michael, you're next on my screen.
Hi. Thank you for checking in. We're doing about the same as everybody. I'm going to give a shout out to you all teachers, because even though it has been a learning curve for everybody, my children who started high school and middle school for the first time have a renewed sense of purpose when they get up in the morning. And it's been a pleasure to, even though they're not going to the school, to see them plugged in and learning and interacting with people beyond our family and the limited social circle that we've kind of been quarantining with. So that's been a plus. Strangely, the last week to 10 days has been better because of that. And I'm on the cusp of going back to work tomorrow. The faculty start on full contract, and we start with retreats at UWT. So this week, the schedule is lots of screen staring. Despite the horrible things that are happening inside the little bubble of our house, it's been a small uptick of I don't know what the right word is, not pleasure, but tolerance.
Awesome. Thank you. Mary Michael.
Hi, I want to also give a shout out to all you teachers and all you parents who have school-aged kids. I just am holding you in my heart and my head and sending you all the good vibes I can. I don't know really how you're doing it, but you are, and I'm proud of you. The museum is Well, we're going to go back next week and start getting the building ready to receive visitors in a COVID safe environment. And then we are shooting for opening on the 29th of September to the public. We're watching with great interest the numbers, the post Labor Day numbers in Pierce County, hoping that lets us go ahead. But we are moving ahead with installing exhibitions, so we'll have all new exhibitions. And I think all the museums in the museum district are actually working to that end. We all have different dates that we're going to be opening. Because we are a state agency, we're still going to be working from home mostly, because Governor Inslee really is encouraging telework wherever it can happen. But a lot of us have work that is tied to the building itself, so some of us will be going back. But we hope to, our exhibition Votes for Women, which was created, and the graphic look and feel was also done by Chandler O'Leary and Jessica Spring. And it's about voting rights, actually. It's about the legacy of women's suffrage and the ratification of the 19th Amendment. So we hope to see you all, no more than 5 people, but at the museum soon in October.
Awesome. Thank you, Rosie.
I'll keep mine short and sweet. I watched a lot of TV this weekend because we had a commitment to only go outside when we were walking the dog. If you all have not watched the series Woke on Hulu, please do so. Highly recommend it. I'll throw it back to you, Heather.
Awesome. Thank you. Heidi.
Hi. I don't have kids and I'm working at home. So things are just moving along the same rate and are back to normal. I was away for most of the summer, actually visiting my mom and working remotely from there. But I'm just back to sort of the new regular, which is being at home every day.
Awesome. Thank you. Sarah, we're just giving a brief update about how we're checking in. How's it going?
Going good. Nice to see you guys. I was supposed to be camping, but smoked out. So here I am. Things are all right. Hanging in there, trying to stay sane. I took off like 16 inches of hair, which was a fun moment of control. Well, in these times where we have none. That's about it. Good to see you guys.
Awesome. Thank you. I love the haircut. And Wanda.
Hi, everybody. I'm doing great, a lot better than I was last time we chatted, and just keeping really busy babysitting and also engaged with some campaigning and working on my doctorate and spending as much time as I can with family when the opportunity presents itself.
Great. Staff, would you like to check in?
There's also Ben on the line. I'm not
Sorry, I didn't see Ben.
Hi, I'm here. I'm doing good. I started working back at the office 2 days a week. Just I think last week, and that's actually been really nice for me. So yeah, it's nice to be able to coordinate with live people. It makes life a lot easier. And then it's just nice to have those side conversations with people and see faces and see people smile. So I don't know, it's been really nice and I'm enjoying that.
Thank you. Staff.
My background's really loud because I have a 19-year-old making sounds, but the smoke is driving me crazy and I'm trying to breathe through it, but breathing is not easy in the smoke, so you can see the problem, but I'm doing all right.
Yep.
I've been okay. It's been hectic and busy and never an end to anything, but I've been trying to find some time to myself and pre-smoke, getting out in nature more. This weekend, I spent a lot of time watching things, including the Tacoma Ocean Fest, which was an event that the Arts Commission helped fund, and that was lovely. And I'm figuring out school for my middle schooler. So, technology issues and all that goes with online schooling these days. So, interesting challenge.
Hey, this is Chevy, and I have been playing music after dinner of recent days and taking an interest in the bass guitar. So that's the latest with me.
I guess I'll go. Hi, everybody. So I'm back from many leaves, from maternity leave. As of last Tuesday, and I'm back working 3 days a week, and just been, it's been great to be back. I love my children so much, but it is wonderful to be back in the adult world now. So, and I have a new, as you all know, I have a new baby girl. So she's about 10 weeks old, almost 11 weeks old, and I think I'll bring her up at the very end of the meeting and just hold her up if anybody's interested. So after the meeting's over. That's one good thing about Zoom is you can like pull a baby up and show him and then put him away.
But great. Congratulations.
Thanks. We do have Clarissa and Lisa on here. Either of you would like to chime in briefly?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I am doing okay. I was disappointed to miss out on some plans this weekend. I was supposed to see some friends out of town and do some outside things, which obviously got canceled. But I'm working hard on framing it as a bummer, but not not a tragedy, because we haven't had to evacuate and, you know, still relatively safe. And so I'm trying to appreciate that part of things. And other than that, keeping very busy with work and appreciating all of the educators and all of the parents of school age children. That's all I got.
All right, I guess I'll do a quick check-in. I'm doing okay. I think like everyone else, just trying to manage being at home and the smoke and all the things living during a pandemic. I didn't do much this weekend. I've been reading a lot, which is nice. If any of you are foodies and are into food literature, the book I'm reading now is called You and I Eat the Same. And it's a whole bunch of short stories about how food connects us all. And that's all I got.
Great. Thank you, guys. So we had a motion, and now would a motion to approve the consent agenda and the meeting minutes for last month. Would anyone like to second that?
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. So we have a few action items on our agenda, and the first is our totem pole deaccession subcommittee. Oh, okay. We talked about this last month, and I would like to move to assemble a deaccession subcommittee to look into this, the deaccession of the Fireman's Park totem pole per our conversation last month. Could I have a second?
Second.
Awesome. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. So we will start the process to get a subcommittee going for the deaccession of the Fireman's Totem Pole. Fireman's Park Totem Pole. Sorry, all the numbers and letters at this point are like jumbling together on the screen and we're having fun. Amy or Naomi, was there anything else that we wanted to talk about that at the moment?
No, I just grateful that Rebecca's back so she can help us organize that. And it was just a point of order. It wasn't an action item last time. We just wanted to make sure that it was exceedingly clear that it's an action item to put the deaccession committee into place. And then that'll take a while to evolve, and we'll be coordinating with the Landmarks Commission as we move that forward as well.
So. Awesome. Thank you. Okay, we have the 2021 Arts Projects Funding Guidelines. And I think those were sent in our packet.
They were, thank you. So I'm hoping that everyone had a chance to look these over ahead of time, because we'll not be reading them word for word at this meeting. But I am gonna pull up on screen, hopefully the right thing. Can people see that okay? Let me zoom in a little bit more. For us to consider are the annual arts projects funding guidelines. This is our funding program to support grassroots types arts programming that happens throughout Tacoma. They're projects that are put on by organizations or some sort of organized group, not projects by individual artists. We talked extensively about this program at last month's meeting, and between then and now, I have gone through and with the help of input from our staff as well, done a lot of updates and suggestions for the funding guidelines of this program, and wanted to go over the main pieces of that tonight with the eventual goal of having a motion to move on with the funding program and guidelines, including any particular updates that or changes that this commission discusses and wants to initiate tonight as well. So know that this is open for discussion and further edits. This is only a draft that we are looking at this point. So again, I'm not going to read through the whole thing. I'm going to touch on some of the main pieces of this, and there'll be some items that need some discussion here, and I'd really like commissioners to chime in when questions come up. And then we may, depending on how things are, we might even want to consider some individual motions on certain decisions or discussions that are being had versus like just one overall for the entire guidelines. So the first thing up is the consideration. It's a small thing, but the idea of adding the word community to the title of arts projects. And the idea of this is just centering this program on the idea that this is to support community-based projects that are happening out there. Not a giant change, but would it require us changing a little bit of how we talk about the program and just consistency that way. The new thing that I proposed adding was some wording here that plays or pulls from the Mayor's Compassionate Tacoma Initiative. And this was rolled out, I think, pre-COVID, like right on the cusp of that happening, but a drive to help build connections in between people and to think in a sort of holistic sense as a community. And so I added in some wording here to reflect that initiative. and just again tying the overall funding program back to broader initiatives that the city of Tacoma is undertaking as well. So that's where this particular paragraph comes from, and the reference to Compassionate Tacoma. You have any questions on that? Okay. The biggest change that you likely have seen, and again, polls from discussions last month, is the entire section about funding priorities. This is brand new. We have not done funding priorities in the past. This is a potential way for the commission to go in setting priorities on where they ideally want to be investing public funds and the type of projects and commitment that they want to be investing in. The first paragraph of this pulls very heavily from the Tacoma Arts Commission's current equity and inclusion statement. So this is pretty close to what that statement currently is. And then the other, all the rest of this is new. And as you can see, there's the current priorities are for, I'll just read through them, organizations whose primary intentions, practices, and mission are by, for, and about BIPOC or Atlanta communities. So, and I'm using those two terms throughout this document. So BIPOC meaning Black, Indigenous, and People of Color, and Alana being another term that is currently being used a little bit more, meaning African, Latinx, Arab, Asian, and Native American. The next priority is organizations that primarily serve low-income communities, organizations that primarily serve LGBTQIA plus communities, projects that focus on racial justice and or social justice, organizations that will use community arts projects funding to directly pay BIPOC or Alana artists to create work that is central to the project, and emergent community needs related to the global pandemic. So I'm gonna pause there. I would love, some discussion, thoughts, input, questions, anything related from commissioners related to these funding priorities.
I have a question.
Sure.
So is this... Are these funding guidelines for organizations and individuals?
Just for organizations.
Just for organizations. Okay.
So the Tacoma Artists Initiative program, you talked about it last time, Naomi, for individuals, but that one...
That will be coming to you guys, I don't know if it's next month or the following month, but in the very near future, and then we... That one will be specifically for individual artists.
So last month it sounded like the commission was supportive of prioritizing. And so this is a good stab at what that prioritization could look like. I also did want to add, we talked about this in the DEI subcommittee, but and we'll make sure that this resolution is available to all of you, but if we haven't already, but the City Council has passed a resolution focusing on making the City of Tacoma an anti-racist organization. So I just wanted to let you know that there's even more support organizationally to be able to make these types of prioritized funding criteria.
Thank you.
You could do it anyway, but there's just more of a, even more of a of an organizational support for
doing this. And that resolution was part of the packet as well. If you had a chance to, it's a lengthy resolution, but it's an important piece and something that provides some teeth for it, the work that the commission may want to do related to in all of our program related to anti-racist work. So.
This might, yeah, is there merit in putting that front and center at the beginning of the document, saying it in keeping with the mayor's Compassionate Tacoma Project, Tacoma Arts Commission has decided to yada, yada, yada?
The Compassionate Program and the resolution, like mentioning them both?
Yeah, just to give the audience a bit of grounding that this wasn't just a one-off where it was the commission making this decision in, without that context. I think it would give credit to the people who've done good work at the top and also maybe provide some context for people who might come to this thinking it looks very different than years past.
Sure. I think I can put it in the introductory piece around this area, tying in the resolution into that.
I have a comment.
Sure.
I don't know if this is the right moment to address it, but I know that from, evaluating these at work and also with Tacoma Arts Commission, I find one of the biggest hurdles for a lot of organizations is their budget, in terms of some people or organizations provide like very little detail. And I feel like that can really hurt them, even if like, I don't know, I guess ultimately, I think it would be helpful if we could just provide maybe like an example of the amount of detail we think would be good. Because I feel like that's often, I mean, even at work, when we do proposals to get funding, it's often just an unknown of like how much information does whoever's evaluating this want, and what sort of information will they value more or less. And I know that for me, that's probably a bias. If I see a budget that's really detailed, even if it's sort of like obvious things, it just, to me, shows they've thought it through maybe a little more than the person who hasn't. Although the person who hasn't would maybe argue that they didn't know they were supposed to give that much detail, or, so I feel like there could be, it would be good if we can give a little more guidance on that front, or maybe the guidance needs to be on the part of the evaluators to not be biased by that, or I don't know. But either way, I think it could use more guidance.
In the, I'm thinking of when we get down into the evaluation criteria and the narrative responses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, specifically the budget, where they kind of do a little spreadsheet with numbers and line items.
And I can bring that up. I did update the budget sheet this year to be, it actually mirrors the kind of the one that was done for Tacoma Creates Impact funding. Provides a little bit more clarification, and then also a sample budget to show the kinds of details in there, and the kind of info that we want. So good note. Yeah, yes, more detail is always appreciated by a panel.
I do want to mention, kind of on that note, I'm thinking of organizations that may not have someone, or maybe their budget person is part-time to offer whatever amount of detail. If there's any kind of support we can offer through the office, or any kind of arrangement, if an organization just happens, if that part of their organization is just a little slim.
Sure. Yes, and that, let me scroll down here. Oops. All right, jumping around on the screen. But so we do have the preliminary application deadline, which is something that we started last year, I believe it was. Here's the info, where people can apply early and get feedback specifically, or there's also like the one-on-one support. We're encouraging people to reach out with questions, but I could even be more specific in there about questions regarding budget or type of information to include in your application, that kind of thing, but providing some options ahead of time, besides just the workshop, for where people can get some help answering questions. Does that kind of get at what you were getting at, Rosie?
Yeah, I think just the framing, I think, can go a long way, especially if people have questions, but they may feel that their questions are not appropriate for
okay.
workshop style. Yeah.
Great.
What's the percentage of artists or organizations that use the first deadline for feedback?
It was kind of mixed last year, and maybe about half of them did. That was the first time we've done that. So I think it was around half, yeah.
How do people feel about adding the word community to community arts projects, first of all?
I like it. It kind of clears it up a little bit more.
I'm just trying to think of how to move through this. So if, do you think that would require, that should be a motion in and of itself to change the name and then move into, are there any of the funding priorities that Naomi laid out that anyone is opposed to or thinks need to be filled out differently or more, or anything that's being left out or anything? I'm just trying to like tackle this in a unusually linear way. Don't usually go toward it.
I have a question about the word primarily.
Mm-hmm. This one?
In all of them.
Okay.
Have it in all of them. Yeah. And so I'm wondering what specifically we're saying there, and if, and there are some organizations that have a mission to serve multiple communities, and so I guess it's fine because it would fall within one of these categories, but I'm wondering if, you know, how this addresses collaborative projects, partnerships. I guess it's addressed in we'll pay directly and
I see this like not it's not a checklist that you have to hit all of these things to be funded, or you might not even hit any of them, honestly, but it's like, well, a prioritization list.
Right, but if it says community arts projects funding will be prioritized for mm-hmm. these things, mm-hmm. it may be, we may not get some projects that don't fit into these things.
Sure. Like if your organization doesn't primarily do these, but.
Yeah, and maybe it's a part of your mission and you have a project that does do that, but it mm-hmm. your organization doesn't primarily serve
sure.
that. I just wonder about, it seems pretty, and I understand it. I get where you're going and I am very supportive of it, but I wonder if it is maybe too didactic in terms of, I mean, I know we're trying to outline that. I just wonder if there's. Maybe the issue wasn't in the body of those words. Maybe the issue is in prioritized for. Maybe it would just be. Extra consideration would be given, or I don't know what.
Yeah.
Could we do like prioritized for organizations that commit to one or more of the following? something along those lines? Yeah, would that be a little bit more clear, just so that you wouldn't have to hit all of them?
Yeah.
But maybe it's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That might be more clear. Yeah. And then also,
or organizations whose projects primarily serve. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what Mary Michael, that's what sort of triggered in me the thought of, definitely some organizations for sure do that, and that could be a priority, but then there might be an amazing project in these instances of projects funding that focuses on those that could be prioritized.
Or maybe there's a smaller group who are coming to that organization, and the organization is supporting that group, but I guess that would be taken care of in directly pay, you know. So I guess it's actually there. It's just, it's good that we need to spell it out, but I hope that, you know, I think about like Tacoma Community House, for example, right? They serve, they're not highly specific in a community, or a, you know, they do a lot of things for a lot of people. And let's say they were going to do a community arts project, and they didn't fall into any of these, they might look at that and say, well, we wouldn't be considered, or we probably wouldn't get it because we don't fit into that.
Do broader things like the focusing on the project versus, so the first three bullet points focus on organizations themselves and who they serve, and then the other ones are focused on the type of project that an organization is doing?
That is where I'm sort of heading with this, is that because we're considering, we need to consider the organizations because we don't want the same, we want to foster projects from these organizations that fit within these categories, but we don't want to discourage larger organizations from doing projects that do these very things as well.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that might do it. And maybe I'm just reading this too closely.
Wondering to that point, Mary Michael, if those sub bullet points, so rather than saying organizations, they could be changed to projects/strategies.
Ah, that's great, Rosie. Yeah.
This is Michael. I mean, I understand this question. I guess when I first saw these, that seemed like the most distinctive change from years past. And I've been on this review committee for at least two or three cycles, I think. And each year we've kind of increased the weight that we take equity into account when we score them and emphasize that more and more. I guess the reason why I really like these as written is that it seems far more, I don't know what the right word is, honest and direct, that this is I have seen some applications in the past from groups as if they seem as though they're writing to the grant, that it would be an organization that needs operating funds, which all organizations do, and sees an opportunity in this to take advantage of the times by shifting programming for economic interests. And I think when we leave the word organization in there, it puts front and center the interest in investing in those marginalized communities, more so than potentially creating or encouraging, speaking bluntly, like a white savior kind of situation. So I mean, I guess I really like those first three, 4 points that address the organization on that as explicitly as that.
I will say that the reason I lined them up like that, and again, this is just a staff thing, but is trying to find a way to make a more explicit commitment to support organizations that have traditionally been underfunded for generations, and making a step without saying like, we are only going to fund, we can't do that. Making it clear that the commission wants to, if that's what you want to do, is see that these organizations that have been systemically underfunded or unfunded in the past have an opportunity, and that we see that area of need and are wanting to help address that very, very specifically. So I guess that's where I was coming at, was trying to address more systemic long-term issues in support of arts and culture nationwide. I mean, our little drop of the money.
Is it possible just to name kind of both key organizations there featured as you have it very specifically now, and then also kind of as Rosie suggested, having projects and strategies as well named so that it can really kind of lay it all out there? And we don't lose the specific emphasis on organizations too.
I think that's a good idea, Anna and Rosie. Rosie, I really love the bringing in the word strategy, because it's not just encouraging projects that do that, but sort of long-term, if what we're wanting to do is foster that, you know, doing away with systemic racism and implicit bias, then it's got to be more than just a project. Should be a seed.
Right, captured, Naomi. So it'd be where was it? What was the language again for projects and strategies? Can somebody remind me what the suggestion was?
I think the suggestion that Anna was saying was the first three would be organizations. Is that right? And then the other three under it would be, well, obviously it wouldn't be emergent communities, but the other two, is that what you were thinking?
The projects and strategies that focus on racial justice and our social justice. And then I'm not sure, would it work with the other one? Rosie, was that you who said that?
I think I brought it up at the beginning, but Anna synthesized that really well.
What was your intention, or what was your suggestion?
To do projects/strategies, keeping organizations, and then I think Michael's point also brought forward for me what kinds of questions we put forward around the leadership makeup of organizations, but that's like a completely separate conversation from this.
Yeah. My only question was adding strategies here, projects and strategies, is and maybe this is fine, but are we funding strategies and community projects? So I'm just thinking of like the nature of this particular funding program for community arts projects. Strategies in the project line confuses me as far as what people are applying for, but I get it with the, we want the organizations to be showing the commitment and the strategies and the board makeup and the, and I think like to say like the organization whose primary purposes are to do these things is much different than just saying, oh, you're going to do a couple things that touch on these things. So I, you know, to Michael's point, it really centers the priorities that way. But at the end of the day, it's still, this is the one where people come in, we're looking at, well, possibly raising the amount. Naomi has three or six, but even that's another question for y'all, is to think about whether the funding pools could be raised. And what types of things would people be coming in, you know, for this funding bucket for? So we want to shift historically inequitable funding levels. I feel like poison air is coming into my house, but I don't know from where.
So is the next step a motion that we include this language, or at least this draft of this language in this? Is that what we're moving toward here?
Yeah, unless there's something glaring or something that would shift, like, are people supportive of this pretty specific approach, for one, barring some potential editing that may make it more clear or.
Well, can I just add one thing? You know, when you talk about systemic racism and, you know, reading the resolution, a lot of the organizations, I haven't been on the funding committees, but when you are sitting on the judging panel, you actually get to hear what people in the organizations think about diversity and systemic racism, and some of the viewpoints are, you know, they're just saying it, like using the buzzwords to, you know, to say that this is what we're doing. And when I think about this and looking at the resolution, one of the things that I think what I heard Michael saying is that we want to see that there's really a commitment, you know, from these organizations that they're committed to showing that they're using the right type of process to determine that they're equitable and they're inclusive. And so what I'm thinking about is that, would it be okay to, in the not in the evaluation process, but in the announcement process, that to be transparent on our part, that we also include the resolution so that it's upfront on the front end and it's very clear that this is what we're saying, because it's really different definitions all over. And I think that this resolution kind of, it's long, but it does give you a pretty broad and specific, practice of what, you know, what inclusiveness and diversity is. So what I'm saying in a nutshell is that, could we include this and say, you know, according to these bylines or according to these guidelines, and then include the resolution 40622?
I think what was recommended is we refer to it with a link to it so people can access it, but it is an 11-page document in and of itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, so people can get to it. It'll be front and center, and I think it's really wise to ground it in that. Do you think that would be sufficient to have a live link? Okay.
Yeah, I think, and most of the organizations today, everybody now can't, you know, everybody's doing, you know, online, so everybody should at least have access to be able to get the link. But as long as we have it up there up front on the front end, and this is what we're saying, because this really kind of gives you a history and it gives you what the expectations are, and it's very transparent. So as long as we have some kind of connection to this, I think that would be great.
Awesome.
move forward on different parts of this.
Do you need action on the first two chunks? I mean, do people feel comfortable with, are there any substantive changes to the funding priorities section that anyone would like to recommend? Or is anybody comfortable doing a motion to?
I can even do them separately if you want for the title and the other.
I'm thinking just because, just for clarity for the notes, that we probably should do it by section.
Okay. I make a motion to accept the changes to the arts projects funding guidelines for 2021 to include the word community. So it would be the 2021 community arts projects funding guidelines.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, the ayes have that. Okay, and our second, motion that we accept the funding priorities to include the mayor's more compassionate Tacoma language and our focus on prioritizing for our BIPOC and Alana communities and those organizations that help serve them.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, the ayes have it. Thank you.
Okay. We'll work on figuring out little wording things, but based on the acceptance of that general direction there. Another main thing to discuss or figure out is last year we sort of changed the funding a little bit and did a flat amount of 6,000 and a flat amount of 3,000 in funding. We can leave it the same this year, or we can look at increasing slightly or more than slightly. It is really up to the commission and open it for discussion. We don't know yet how much funding we will have for this program, so it's a little hard to say, like, there's gonna be, you know, this much more or that, you know, more or less. I think there's a sense that potentially because we don't have anchor fund program this biennium, that there could potentially be a little bit more money that's put into arts projects funding in this coming biennium, but that is dependent on how much funding is allocated to us from the general fund, and that is unknown at this time. Amy, do you want to say anything else about money?
I don't know. I think the budget will be adopted, I don't know if Adam's paying attention. They're going to be looking at it in October.
They'll start the review process in October with final vote, I believe, late October or November.
So it won't be until then that we know how much funding overall the commission has to distribute between arts projects and Tacoma Artist Initiative Program. And you guys will be voting at that point on how much to allocate to each of the two different funding programs. But in the meantime, we need to decide within arts projects, what are the funding levels and what are you comfortable with? So,
which is a little hard to do.
Yes, it is.
Tonight.
For context, the original amount 2 years ago, the highest somebody could get was $5,000. It was, the lowest was 1,000, the highest was 5. And so last year we upped it. Lowest is 3,000, highest is 6,000. And it is fine staying as it is, but it is also an opportunity to pass a little bit more in there if you want.
But these, you'd like these to be published when, Naomi?
They need to go out this within probably a week or so. So.
Could I make the recommendation that we keep it as is for now? And if for some reason there's a chance to raise it that, I mean, people always like more than rather than less, but I think it's a little premature to make it higher now without knowing what the budget stuff is.
That's what I was thinking.
I agree with that. And from past experience, even when it was the five, very few got the full five by my memory. So I think the six, more organizations got the six. So it's a lot more of an increase than it might seem, I think, on paper.
Yeah. Okay. We can do it for this biennium again or this year. And if things change or we have a different sense in 2022, we can always change it too. So
I mean, the thing, Arts Project is the only annual funding program. And with 2021 is still going to be bizarre. So it's like, I for one want like some kind of sense of false sense of stability for the 3 and 6.
Is that, I don't know if we need to vote on if we're not changing it, but did anyone else want to chime in or otherwise we'll leave it as is? Okay. I won't go over all these. I don't think it's necessarily worth a vote, but I added in a couple other examples of public benefit, including one specific for this year or these times of providing projects that allow people creative expression during times of physical distancing. Let's see. There is, and you cannot see it on the screen, but a Mac screen and a PC screen differ. I am suggesting in this area to take out one eligibility criteria that was in there in the past, which was, will your organization match Arts Projects funding at least $1 to $1 with other sources of cash or in-kind donated support, or if you're a taxing authority, school, or school-based auxiliary organization, will you match Arts Projects funding at least one-to-one with other sources of cash? And suggesting here to take out the cash requirement altogether in the budget section. There is definitely a explanation or saying it is important to show other support for your project. This can be cash and or in kind, but not requiring at least an exact one-to-one match for that. So any questions, comments? Are you guys okay with that? The technicality, okay. Added in this year, and this is follow-up to experiences from previous funding, is requesting a letter of commitment. So if an organization is collaborating with another organization or an individual whose role is central to the project, we want to see some sort of written documentation, doesn't need to be formal, saying that, yes, I am part of that project and we know that they're on board. And this is will be a piece of the application. They don't need to do any like super fancy stuff for it, but to show that commitment there. Again, if there's questions, let me know. I'm not sure if it warrants a vote on that kind of stuff, because this was covered, I think it was at the January commission meeting where there was a vote on funding that tied into that. Okay, I have added in, so we have the evaluation criteria and narrative. So this is what we're asking applicants to respond to, but also what the panel has to evaluate the applications on. Sorry, drawing a blank. And I have added in some new possibilities of what artistic merit can include. These tie into the funding priorities that we listed earlier on in the application. Let's see.
Naomi?
Yeah.
Well, I have two questions. One, the first arts projects that center racial justice and or social justice. I'm curious to know why you put that in artistic merit instead of And the other thing is, I wonder if since to agree with the priorities and funding, I wonder if we shouldn't change the percentage that we're considering equity. We shouldn't up the percentage that we're considering equity. Just curious.
That
I'm new here. I don't know if maybe this is mandated by something else that I don't know about, but.
It is not mandated. Equity was upped and actually pulled out as its own category from previous years. In the past, it had been paired with community impact and equity, and last year, the year before, it was pulled out as its own section and given a pretty hefty percentage weight of that. But as you can see, equity type work is definitely tied into the artistic merit element because there's so many intersections between how all these things work. I think there's examples of artistic merit that could probably go in other sections, but I guess that's kind of where I landed on that. And basically trying to get away from the artistic merit way back when it used to be called artistic quality or merit. And we sort of kept continuing to change, you know, getting away from the quality piece and talking about like, what's the impact, what's the merit that this project has in the community. And so that's kind of where I put it. It could go in a different section though, if we wanted. And yes, we could change the percentage points of, you know, the weight of these overall.
I think it's always been, and because it is Arts Commission funding, there needs to be something that makes the artistic part of it be central, you know, in some way.
Right.
For sure. But I could agree either way. But my question is, when we use the language such as underrepresented and stuff like that, I get why we do that. But there could be like amazing art forms that aren't underrepresented that are like, I mean, just trying to see if it projects that represent an artistic challenge or stretch. So that's kind of like getting at taking risks with artistic stuff possibly, or.
I had put that in, looking also at other communities and what, you know, suggested some language in there, but also as a way to help telegraph and make apparent to the panel, but also applicants, that you don't have to have some, you know, extensive history of producing this thing. Like, we are interested in supporting new ideas and things that take you out of your comfort zone potentially, and we're willing to take more risks.
Good. No, I think that's good.
And I think it says can include, so it's an option, you know.
Yeah.
Right. And certainly not limited to these either. Like, you're just some examples of what artistic merit may be.
Exactly.
Okay. And so if somebody does have, like, 1 year we had, I always pull on the Chinese opera because it was so, such an unusual art form and mm-hmm. nobody knew how to evaluate it even. But it was very underrepresented and it would often get funded.
So you have, you know, creation or refinement of new work or creative reinterpretation of existing work, broadening public knowledge or understanding and appreciation of and access to the arts. So there's, I think there's a lot of room there for organizations to see themselves in one or more of these options. And there's, we could certainly broaden the list of artistic merit. Want to keep it somewhat short overall for the application, but we certainly could add in other examples of what artistic merit could be as well. Also of note, I updated the equity definition. This is now reflective of the same definition that is used for in Tacoma Creed, so I wanted to have some consistency in how our office is using definitions, so that piece is in there.
Thank you for putting that in.
Sure. that was one of the things I was trying to look at in throughout this is defining terms. What do we mean by these things? Because otherwise the default seems to be looking at it from like Eurocentric norms of what do we think this is, you know? And so having a very clear definitions. And another piece is also in the community impact in the past, there were some questions very, very specific about like, how many people will you serve? And if you're not serving X number, you know, whatever, if that's not your intention, how do you measure success? And instead centering on just asking them, how do you measure success? And numbers might be one of those things, but many projects don't have necessarily serve giant numbers of people, but their success is rated in a different way. And I want to give room for applicants to address that.
Especially in this COVID time, I think that's really important. So thank you again for putting that in there.
It's hard for anyone to tell how many people they're impacting these days. And those are the main changes that I have this year. So unless there's other suggestions, I am open to hearing what they are.
So I think you did a good job of reflecting in the actual criteria how the priorities would be measured, right? So that's where that shows up. Just want to make sure looks like that's what people are focusing on. It's one thing to prioritize, and then if it doesn't show up somewhere else in the criteria, then it doesn't do its job. So
I just have one other thing. Do we need to include under the artistic merit like LGBTQ?
We do have...
I don't see it. I'm looking for it. And
yeah. And low with the organizations that primarily serve LGBTQIA community and organizations that primarily serve low income communities, two different bullet points.
Are you looking for like a positive impact on artists and arts organizations? And then the LGBTQIA plus?
I was looking under the artistic merit part where we said positive impact on artists and organizations where, you know, we list them. And I was just wondering in that framework, do we want to also include that protected group as well? Just questioning, just curious.
That's a good question. There was three original in the funding priorities. There were pull up and make everyone dizzy here. Organizations whose primary intentions are to serve BIPOC and Alano communities, organizations that primarily serve low-income communities, and organizations that primarily serve LGBTQIA communities. Those three things, I didn't list those three bullet points specifically in artistic merit. I don't think it should be about the organization themselves, but maybe it's about serving those particular audiences.
Well, that's what I was referring to as well. That particular community.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
I think I could add in another bullet point that addresses maybe those specific low-income communities, LGBTQIA communities.
Sure, if it's something like, you know, engages them in a meaningful way. I know these words are not measurable, meaningful, positive impact. I mean, there's a certain, there's some kind of fussiness with that, but we can play with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Okay.
I think we need a, if there's no other, we need a vote to, or a motion of some sorts to move forward with the program with taking in mind the, discussion and suggestions made.
Would you like one for the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I make a motion to accept the 2021 Community Arts Project funding guidelines, taking into account our discussions and the small changes that will be made soon. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you all. Naomi, you got it.
Good job.
Thank you all. Sorry, it's a big discussion, so important. Thank you.
That was good. All right, we have Tacoma Arts Month updates.
Hello, everyone. I want to begin with expressing gratitude to you for sharing out Artists in Focus, sharing out our activities, calls on social media and in your personal circles, if that's through email. Your work and outreach is making a difference. We are receiving activities and we've received submissions for Artists in Focus, so thank you. In addition to Artists in Focus and our activities, we are also moving forward with art kits with supplies, and this is really exciting, partnering with Tacoma Public Schools. And Heather, our chair, has helped to propel this conversation. And if we have students who may not work with art kits or work with their hands, and we're also putting prompts in these kits to encourage students who are writers, who may work with literary arts or performing arts like me, to continue to create and cultivate wonder and care. So I want to hold on art kits, and Heather, if you have anything to add there, please go ahead and add.
As art teachers in the spring, we all kind of freaked out. Obviously our students in many of our communities don't have access to art supplies. And so there was talk about trying to get smart supplies, and then there was not talk about that. And then it was brought to the city, and the city of Tacoma and our lovely department here is actually funding 2,500 art kits for students, which is amazing. So we actually are able then to get students in remote learning to actually create art with things that are not what we used last semester, which was like, I had kids painting with sriracha and Kool-Aid because that's what they had. And it was awesome. And it was totally really great. But I'm like trying to see, we made toilet paper roll sculptures. I don't know. We did whatever we could. And this semester, as a entire body of art teachers are going to be able to create art, which is really, it's really exciting. It's super exciting. So I got to share that with art teachers at the beginning of September. So we all thank you. And part of that is we're going to be making a project. So all of our students will be making projects focusing on the idea of wonder and care and how they can experience wonder and care in their lives. So it's super exciting to get a ton of kids involved in Tacoma Arts Month that might not have ever heard about it before. So thank you.
That's awesome.
Great. Thanks. Thank you, Heather. And I have a few more updates for everyone. We do have 10 community engagement projects, and I would like to share those artists with you and just a high level of about the projects. We have Tamiko and Taruko Nomura. They are partnering together to provide a visual art and literary art care package with Food for Free Tacoma. Jamika Scott is a local filmmaker, and she will be interviewing Tacomans about what love and empathy means during these hard times. So she's doing a video and photo project. Daniel Garcia is doing a community boombox, and this community boombox will pop up in different locations, like some of our local parks, maybe Wright Park, Hilltop, and other spots where communities congregate. And this, he's upholding all of the safety and health guidelines to do this. Gerardo Pena is doing a metamorphosis mural with a butterfly, so people can stop by and take photos in front of his mural called Metamorphosis. Paige Pettibon is sharing her book Going Home and providing a downloadable PDF that's got a worksheet so community members can download that worksheet and learn more about the Lushootse language and her book and song Going Home. And we have Abby Murray, our poet laureate, is working on an anthology of poetry that was written by undocumented youth in Pierce County. And she will be sharing a downloadable free PDF of this anthology of poetry to create awareness in our community. Anita Ali is going to host a children's art exhibition as a result of her mommy art school workshops that have been going since March 2020, since the beginning of the pandemic, to continue art and continuing that move for art with our children. Jessica Spring, you may have seen some of these around town already. They're up in our parks and public sites. You'll Heal Tacoma signs. So this is also conveying the message of wonder and care. And lastly, we have Jefferson Mock, who is using found materials with storytelling with community members. So he'll be putting together different visuals, text, and audio. And I've gone through our community engagement projects. We have one more artist, Cyri, who I'm working on some details with Cyri right now. So that's our 10th artist. And I have an action item for any interested arts commissioner. We'd love to work with you on an Instagram takeover. So we have 15 arts commissioners. October is just about 5 weeks. If this sounds like something of that interests you, where you're like getting a charge of excitement, please send me an email and I will work to assign out a commissioner a day or a week in October. Well, what does this look like even further? It looks like recording yourself using your smartphone, talking about wonder and care, or maybe you're going to create a project on your own in your own home that cultivates wonder and care. Short videos, we're looking for 2 to 3 videos, 30 to 60 seconds long. I will work with you. I have all of the details to get your video uploads, provide the Dropbox details. I'd love to have all of you involved, but this may be scary, a scary activity. So, those are my Arts Month updates.
Chevy, if somebody wasn't interested or comfortable doing video, could they do photo-based, like do an Instagram takeover, but have it just photos of maybe not even themselves, but of them showcasing some things that speak to them.
Yeah. Oh, Naomi, thank you so much for bringing up photos. Absolutely. If you are compelled to share a few photos, you're welcome to send photos my way or video too. Thank you.
I wanted to thank Sarah Woodson for the idea, Instagram takeover. And we did think about like, how could we float that to influencers in the community? It gets harder and harder the further away from like city channels we get, but I think you all are influencers, and it's a really good chance to for people to know who you are as commissioners. And so, although it is voluntary, I would really love it if all of you could choose to do it at some level, and we'll make it, you know, not so heavy lifting. So if it's something you just want to, if something you want to go all out on, great. But it shouldn't be too hard to just do it easily with Chevy's help. As I say that, I'm terrible at this stuff. I have no idea.
Well, my apologies to all of you fellow commissioners for volunteering you for this, but I think it could be fun.
Does everybody know what the Instagram takeover means, or what do you want to talk about what you like your concept of it, even Sarah, as you threw it out there in the first place?
Oh, I mean, obviously I didn't really think that through. We were kind of brainstorming, but I the idea of just kind of other voices taking over this channel and showing different parts of the community or different art spaces, different types of creativity and what people are doing. So I think it's great.
I suppose if you're a practicing artist, you can share out some of your own work, but are you also thinking of like showcasing some of the organizations or locations in Tacoma that are meaningful to you, or that you want to highlight in some way, or an individual artist, or I suppose you could take it in multiple ways, right?
Yeah, isn't that the point? It's sort of like, hey, here's my perspective for the week. I saw this. This was cool. I saw this quote. That was neat. I like these pictures. Here's a dancer. I don't know. Stuff like that. It just has to be inspirational. No pressure. It doesn't have to be inspirational. Anything's inspirational.
Chevy, will you be emailing commissioners with info on how to plug into that?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just sending you an email, Chevy.
All right, great. I've heard from two commissioners so far already. So I will provide, because I'm someone who's visual, I need to read an outline. So I'll also provide an email with this information.
We used to ask you to sign up to schlep a bunch of brochures all over the place, which we aren't doing now. This is a lot easier lifting than literally schlepping boxes around.
Can I add one more thing? I think for people who don't want to be on camera or have pictures of themselves, or I think it could also be a way to highlight your favorite arts organizations or artists in town and say, you know, I'm a commissioner and these are three people whose work I want to talk about. I think that is also a really neat way to spread the love and tag them in that post so that their Instagram handles get some eyeballs.
Awesome. This is going to be an awesome Arts Month. I mean, it might not be the same, but it's going to be great. So I like this. All right. Thank you.
Oh, and the proclamation. Tell them about the proclamation.
Oh, yes. Heather will be attending our city council meeting next Tuesday, the 22nd, where our mayor will read the Arts Month proclamation.
Awesome.
It'll be fun. All right. Awesome. Thank you. We have our diversity, equity, and inclusion subcommittee share out.
Maybe I'll give a little basis and then I can open up for the commissioners who sat on that. But the DEI subcommittee was finally able to meet. We met on September 11th. on Zoom, and in on that subcommittee is Anna and Ben, Lynn, Wanda, Elizabeth, Olivia, and Rosie. So it's a very large subcommittee. And we kind of did a quick review of where we were when we last met, which was March, which is like 10 years ago. And then discussed some of the possible ways forward, or what the subcommittee wants to focus on. There was discussion about desire to have some more permanent, ongoing, visible representation of Black culture and community in Tacoma, whether that could eventually be through public art if we have Percent for Art funds, or more so in supporting that kind of work through our arts projects and TIP fundees. So through the whole funding prioritization kind of work, where we can have greater representation of artwork by Black artists in our community. And then we talked some about funding prioritization, like what we just did earlier, and ways to sort of set intentionality around what the commission wants to support. And in so doing, kind of almost curating work that fits a direction that the commission wants to go in. And a desire to help define what the roles of the subcommittee are, what we're supposed to be doing. And we are going to be meeting monthly now instead of quarterly, because the world is changing so much and there's a lot to do. So I feel like I should open it up to anyone who's on that subcommittee to chime in with what you'd like to share.
I just want to say I thought it was a great meeting. And I think that we were able to really have some good dialogue, you know, about, you know, sensitive kinds of issues. And that's really good, because we were open and we were transparent, sharing our ideas about, you know, what's going on in the world today in terms of, you know, police and, you know, Black Lives Matters and what's happened in Tacoma. So I really appreciated the honest and open dialogue. I think that was good. And that's the beginning. So, I was really pleased that we were able to share our thoughts and move forward.
I also really enjoyed our conversation. You know, it was bright and early in the morning. I'm not usually awake at that time, but I really liked having it. Like, after the meeting, it was like, oh my gosh, I feel alive and awake. And it was so nice to have this discussion first thing in the morning. I'm really looking forward that we're having this on a monthly basis as well. I think that will be, it'll be good. We'll get a lot of work done.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say that I'm very encouraged by just the process of how all of this came together. So just knowing what this was like before the idea flourished, the conversation to the people, to then transition of people. And to, I remember when Naomi passed around the sheet for signups, there were so many people that signed up for this. So I'm encouraged by what we could do as a subcommittee, and how the Arts Commission can be kind of lead in some of this work for the city.
Thank you all. We'll continue to report back then at the commission meetings as we meet, and exciting work ahead.
Awesome, thank you. We have some staff check-ins. Our Tacoma Creates.
Ta-da!
Hello! Hi, everyone, again. The biggest Tacoma Creates news is that we are about to have, as of tomorrow night, a Tacoma Creates advisory board. There are 12 individuals that are will hopefully be appointed by City Council at the meeting tomorrow evening. And this was the process that started way back in December. We had a really strong group of applications. We were set to have interviews at the end of March, which obviously got postponed. So the Economic Development Committee restarted their meetings. We had interviews over the last couple of weeks, and they made their recommendations for 11 individuals. And then the 12th individual is a sophomore in high school recommended by the Mayor's Youth Commission. He is a member of the Mayor's Youth Commission and will be serving also on the Tacoma Creates Advisory Board. So that's very exciting, and the first meeting of the Tacoma Creates Advisory Board will be on Monday, October 5th, via Zoom for the foreseeable future, much like this group. Aside from that, we are continuing with all of the processes related to having to do our contracting in phases of a couple of months at a time, and just today we sent out information to all of our currently funded organizations to have them report on the current quarter and plan for the next quarter so that we can do another round of amendments. We are working hard to get the Tacoma Creates website launched, and that will hopefully happen in a couple of weeks, maybe. And working on some ADA accessibility things with the website, which I think are actually pretty cool. It's gonna be great. Those are really kind of, I think, the main things for your general information. I'll also quickly mention something that isn't Tacoma Creates specific, and something else that Chevy is working on that just happens to be this week, which is that it is National Arts and Education Week. So watch for some social media stuff. And if you have an arts education story that you want to share with the hashtag Because of Arts Ed, that would be awesome. And I think that's all I got, unless anybody has any questions, or Amy or Naomi, if you had any other Tacoma Creates things you were expecting me to talk about.
All right, thank you. Our staff projects and overview and updates.
Amy, do you have anything you want to say?
I've been out of the office for a week or so. Is there anything major that I've been working on?
Amy, everybody's been out of the office.
Right. Good point.
Right.
I don't have anything specific.
Yep.
Something.
I've been doing, just FYI, some updates to our current arts projects and TIP funding contracts, or trickles of more amendments and changes to contracts. I've had a couple, two artists and three organizations that I've been working with who are changing up the type of programming that they're doing between now and they have started doing, and that will be finished before the end of the year. These are sort of staff level approvals that we're doing. Basically, they had to make changes, as everyone has, because original plans aren't feasible. But there are some really interesting things, like King's Books, we funded to do their annual Ways Goose event, which is normally in April. Not feasible this year, but they're going to do something I think is kind of fun. So for a week, they'll have a window front letterpress like shop where people can walk by and see letterpress happening and learn more. There'll be samples and descriptions of what's going on. And then they're going to send this little tabletop press on tour throughout Tacoma for a week at different, with different artists. And they'll be creating content and all this stuff will be shared out on social media channels. So it's a way to bring letterpress to the community in alternate ways. We have a contract with an organization called Queer Life. They were going to do a original performance, originally a performance that was about the history of female impersonation on stage, and that is moving into more of a education kind of program about the history, but as you can imagine, stage performances aren't feasible right now. So I'm really impressed with how artists and organizations are finding ways to really adapt and take things out in the community in new ways. And we're, if you follow our social media stuff, we're trying to share out the content that's being made. So I've been doing some posts recently. There's been kind of a new wave of our TIP artists who are doing different kinds of programming. So Kyle Dillahay, who is doing alternative photography, and he does like really in-depth lessons on like the entire alternative photography process, which is pretty cool. There's artists doing, Sarah Chavez doing a workshop and poetry reading series coming up. So there's a lot still going on just in new formats, which is encouraging. Yeah.
We make them do it in them in October
for art. Yeah, Sarah's is happening in October, and a lot of the other there will be a lot happening, and some of it's ongoing. Yeah.
Awesome.
That sounds fantastic. All right, we have public art updates.
Okay, so. I've only been back, I've only been back for 3 days, so I don't, if Naomi or Amy want to jump in on any of these, or anything else, feel free to, but just wanted to share a couple projects. The artists keep working, so that's one good thing is almost all of my projects, except for the ones that were, working directly with students or required work with people directly, hands-on, have continued on. So that's a good thing. So I'm going to share my screen. If that's okay, Naomi, I might need you to give me permission. And then I'll share my screen, and I have a couple things I'd love to share with you guys. Oh. Okay, so this first project is, these first images I'm showing are of a Right 253 installation on East 40th Street. This is a project that's been in the works for a long time, but they just put a new installation down, so just in time for the rain that's coming. These are temporary poems that were done with students all over the East Side, from elementary school to some high school students too, the whole range. So this is it turns out to be a great project you could go view in a socially distanced way. So here are a couple images just of the installation, and there will be more to come, and we'll make sure to be sharing these, especially as the rain comes and these show up. So it's a temporary installation that's a material that basically coats the sidewalk where it's installed, so it only shows up sort of in negative when water's put on it or when it rains. So kind of a fun way to get out this winter, as I'm sure we're all going to be looking for reasons and ways to get outside, even as we're continuing to be socially distanced. So again, more on that, but a fun project that has just been had some insulation on this last couple weeks. I also wanted to share, this is a Metro Parks project. This is at the Eastside Community Center. This is Dion Bonner's youth memorial mural. And this, the center is not open, but once it opens, it'll be obviously on display. It's a really beautiful piece that she put a lot into, and it's in full-on progress now. And again, we'll keep sharing this, as I'm sure there will be a dedication as well. Once we can do, I don't know how we're going to do dedications, but.
And is this the one, Rebecca, where the there'll be an online remembrance of people who've lost family members due to gun violence or something related to this?
Yes. So this piece is specifically, this was a project that was awarded to Dion Bonner, who participated in the training program with Metro Parks sitting back in 2018. And it's a project specifically to memorialize youth who are lost to gun violence on the East Side. So there was a lot of conversation around how to, the names are so important. And a lot of the families don't have a way that they've been able to publicly remember their young people that they've lost, their family and friends. So we wanted to be able to recognize the names without without excluding anybody, which is a tough thing, because the piece is installed and it's kind of a snapshot. So what we came up with is to have a website that Metro Parks will host. It'll just have anybody's we'll have names on it that anybody can submit, and we're working on a way to have that in the space itself, but it'll be at least a place to digitally remember them, and the mural will point to that. So really powerful piece, and Dion did such a good job with this. I'm really proud of her. Okay, and then a couple other pieces I wanna do share are two of our current training program temporary projects were installed this last week. One of them is Gerardo Pena's project, which is at 7th and Tacoma Avenue at the, I am blanking on the name of the church, but I think it's the
First United Methodist Church.
Thank you. So this is just a quick, the end of a video. We got a little bit of, we got some coverage on it by Cairo, which was awesome. Sorry, you guys here.
Need more weather events to your anxiety level.
Okay. Well, did you all get to see that? I don't know what it's showing right now. So. There we go. Yeah, I just wanted to show the end of it here that shows the installed piece, because it's the best kind of representation of it. But this is one of the first installations that's going up, that has gone up, and he did a great job, and I would encourage you all, it's one you can drive by and see. He actually, I think he changed it from I miss all of you to I love all of you, just because since everything going on, he just felt like that message needed to get out. And I think there's a nice video and story of him talking about that too. I'm going to share that as soon as it clears up a little bit. I just can't see sharing things, telling people to go outside in this weather. So another project that was installed over this weekend is Jessica Springs' project, You'll Heal Tacoma. And these are actually posters that are in the fence at the Stanley Playfield along 19th Street. And people are encouraged to take a poster and then leave a poster with, based on the prompt, You'll Heal Tacoma. So again, a project you could drive by in your car or walk up to, and it's amazing coming back and seeing the work that all of these artists in our public art training program have done, and the ways they're finding to still connect with communities, and they've done an amazing job. So the bulk of the projects are going to be coming during October to match up with Arts Month, and so you'll be seeing more about these projects, but I encourage you to check both of these out. They'll only be up for about a week more each is the plan. So those are the projects I wanted to share. Any other, and Naomi and Amy, if you wanna share anything else, feel free to.
We wanna see that baby.
Can you hear her?
Can you send us a picture?
Yeah, Wanda, I'll send you a picture too.
Okay, thank you.
I'm gonna stop my share. She's kicking over here. This is Chili Joe. She'll be 11 weeks old on Wednesday. And she's getting used to Zoom, so. I'll just hold her here for the rest of the meeting if that's okay.
I'm gonna put you on speaker view so I can see her all big. Oh, there's her cheeks.
Oh, good stuff.
Get the thighs and the cheeks. You guys didn't watch public art updates anyways, did you?
We just want to see the baby.
Public art.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for sharing Chili, because she's adorable. I love her. Oh my goodness. Any advocacy reports? I'm going to ask.
Yeah, right.
Any funded project updates or any arts events attended or anything that you've gone out and seen? I will say I did get, I got a message from one of our former, well, he's been funded in the past. Mauricio Robolino has a new mosaic that I have not had a chance to go see in the past few days. I don't have any idea why. But it's at the Pho King space between, at MLK at 11th. So if you are interested in going there and seeing it, I've seen it online and it looks amazing. I just have to wait until, I don't know, there's like a second to go myself. So, but anything else that anyone's gone to see or even driving by?
I saw part of Ocean Fest. And I happen to be related to one of the youth poetry winners. I got to see an award ceremony virtually for the first time. But I peeked at several of the other performers and it was pretty cool the way it adapted.
I'll just tag on to that. I don't know if anyone else saw Ocean Fest, but I thought for an online festival, they did a really amazing job making it. Like, I actually sat and watched for a couple hours, which I don't know if I would normally do if it was just like, go to the website and look at a few things. But they had like lineups of dancers and musicians and visual artists throughout the day. It was really amazing. I hope other people got a chance to see it. And if you didn't, the videos are still up on their website now. So to come up, oceanfest.com, I think, and you can see them.
Good.
Awesome. Any future agenda items for consideration? All right.
That we get back to normal.
We have fresh air.
Fresh air. Dude, if I could have my on, we would have all this. Well, it is 6:57 and I am going to close out our Tacoma Arts Commission meeting. Thank you all.
Thank you. Welcome back, Rebecca.
Thank you. Good to see you all.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
There's a little dress on.
I know, those cheeks. Cheeks for days.
Rebecca, can you make me host again?
Okay, Rebecca, send me a video. Bye.
You don't get to see her, right, Wanda? Okay, I guess you're on
the- Right, okay.